7 FM Lafayette Lake Charles, a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. Find us on Facebook at KRVS Public Media.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Exchange. This is Cheryl Castile. I love the two women that we have on the show today. Mavis Frugier, who has been on before. Miss Mavis is a fighter for anything that has to do with French in this area. She is someone who is very involved. She does a l'état français. She does a French table in Arneville once a month. She goes and travels all over promoting the area and the French culture. And today we're going to talk about another event that Mavis is involved in. And then we also have Miss Brenda Mounier, who I've never had the pleasure of having Brenda on the show, but certainly have known Brenda for quite a while. And Brenda is a retired school teacher. And Brenda in the past did something that I think is really interesting. I never have had the chance to talk with her about it, but developed a teaching program to teach the history of the Cajuns for fourth and fifth graders when she was teaching. Brenda is someone also who is out there really working hard and advising people on what can be done to make sure that everything continues to stay alive in this culture and with the French language. So welcome, the two of you.
Thank you, Cheryl.
To have you here.
Merci beaucoup.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about the two of you. When did you two first meet?
Oh, my gosh. She was hitchhiking an I-10, and I picked her up.
and how long ago was that? Like, you guys were in your, like, 20, 21?
Oh, no. In the 80s. No, I'm teasing. I wasn't even living in Lafayette at the time. And she, I think I met you through the Teatro Jazz.
I think so. I so remember her, and I don't recall what her name was in this play called Les Attaque-Pau. And she had pigtails, and she was.
Did you say in a play?
In a play, yes. Le Théâtre Jazz. We did plays in French.
And who set all that up?
Well, I don't know who set it up. Maybe you remember.
Was it through, like, an organization, Codafil. Like Codafil? Oh, it was Codafil. Through Codafil.
Yes, it was through Codafil.
Yeah, that's in parentheses. Yeah, they definitely lent a lot of support. And it was really, Richard Guidry, whom we lost in 08, and Arlene Broussard, Amanda Lafleur, Phoebe Trotter, Shirley Savoie. Ibu Landrineau.
Richard Landry.
And now, were these plays that somebody in the group, were they original pieces that somebody would write?
Yes.
Ah.
At least the ones that I participated.
Oh, yes.
One, Jim Viator and Arlene Broussard, and that was about Cousin Dudley J. LeBlanc.
Ah.
And that was Monsieur, Mesdames, and Mes Chers Amis.
Mm-hmm.
And
that took a look at his life?
Yes.
It
was fun. It was, he of course, patented Hadacol.
Sure.
And I don't know, I've forgotten the alcohol, the proof, but it was more alcohol than...
It cured anything.
That's right.
I still have a bottle.
I do too, Brenda.
That's just something somebody gave me from an antique store.
do you remember any parts of that play at all?
Well, one of my favorites was one that was delivered by Sable Thibodeau. Different members of the cast gave testimonials as to the benefits of...
of had a call.
And she said how she had arthritis and her body hurt always, and she couldn't sleep. She was nervous, but just drinking 3 bottles of had a call, she could sleep with anyone.
The cure for what ails you, huh?
Absolutely.
Well, how long did that go on with where there were those plays?
Oh,
I don't started know in these. the '70s, I think.
Well, would you do those at a theater in the area, or where would
some
they take place?
Been done. Yeah, there were quite a few. When I came on board, there had already been some that had been done. But these were friends of mine, so, you know, it was easy to get on board.
Yeah.
There was Martin Webb and Marie Bouleur. The Marie Bouleurs were from the area of Bosco.
They
were like the type that would go to a dance that night and just put their knife on the post,
sure,
and hang their hat on it, you know.
Ah. Yeah.
On the Bosco area. There was that. There was, there were so many of them. Some of them were takes on some classic plays written in France. Like the one about, I forget the name of the title of the play, but it was about, you know, like a nouveau riche, you know, person that had gotten a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so they did them in little venues between here and East Texas, HOMA, here, East Texas.
Going into Texas, too.
New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. How were the crowds, do you remember?
Well,
they were...
I mean, you'd get a decent turnout.
Yeah, it wasn't like thousands, you know.
Sure, yeah, but...
But 50 was good.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we would take it and very well appreciated. Because Texas has, in East Texas, there's les Acadiens du Texas.
Okay, yeah.
And they are... You know, they were still holding on. They still are today, holding on to their culture and language. You know, they moved there, I guess, in the early 1900s.
During the Depression, looking for work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh huh. And so they definitely wanted anything that came out of here. And by the way, the play, and I don't want to take up too much time, but the plays were written for Cajuns by Cajuns.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had no idea that went on to that extent.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. Do you know how long those ran until, like, what years when they
Well, I think
stopped?
I can answer the end of it was La Douce Réunion, when we went to New Brunswick for the first Congrès Mondial and did La Douce Réunion, the Sweet Reunion.
In 1994.
In 1994.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't think we did any more after that.
No, but it still continues. Like Richard Landry and Shirley Savoy, Arlene has participated also in vignettes that are done at the Acadian Memorial in St. Martinville.
Oh, sure, mm-hmm. Sure. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, they do for. They're always available for occasions like that. They have continued it in that way. And it's something that, you know, we've always wanted to revive. I mean, Arlene was the driving force in that. And Arlene teaches at LSU now.
Okay.
And so, and has grandkids and I guess doesn't have as much time anymore
sure.
for that.
Now, had either of you been involved in theater prior to that?
No.
Yeah.
No. I had gone to see Les Attaque-Paul and... I talked with Richard Landry. I said, this looks like so much fun. And I love the fact that it was done in French. And I said, I would like to participate in something like that. And he said, we're meeting at AOC. I forgot what night it was. But he said, come check it out. So I went. And whoever was to show up and read a certain part of the script did not. And he said, can you read this? I said, well, I certainly will try. And I got the part.
Mm.
I was left with the part.
And which play was that, May?
That was Cousin d'Oetz.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And that night was Shirley Savoy, Richard Landry, and Robert Landrino, better known as Ibu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
my start.
Yeah,
yes.
Shirley... I mean, those that have been in Shirley has not missed one.
Mm-mm.
I mean, he's of age, he's just kind of, he's not feeling very well lately. And so the others, Richard and Ibu and him, continue it. But he was in every play involved. And the thing is, Shirley would change the lines.
He would ad-lib.
He would ad-lib. And, you know, that breaks the rhythm of,
sure.
you know, Oh gosh, they would get so upset with him, but he was so good at it, and it just came naturally to him to do that. So he couldn't help himself.
Yes.
Now, who would direct the plays? Would they do all the direction also in French?
This way. Oh yes, this
everything
way, for me was Arlene.
Okay, mm-hmm. So everything was done. Yeah. How fabulous.
It was.
Arlene directed quite a few, and then Richard took over. The one play that I was in was James Fontenot, who from Abbeville, who actually is the one who beat Cousin Dud. Cousin Dud had been elected several times in Abbeville.
Yeah.
Well, James Fontenot is the one who opposed him and won.
Him. Wow.
Right.
Okay.
And he was a Renaissance man.
Yeah.
I think his sister Sue Fontenot was
a judge
here.
Yes.
And well, we've since lost.
James.
I think we've lost both of them, but James before, and he was just phenomenal. And this was a Civil War play, Les Attaques à Pau.
Yeah.
And we had Franz Amelix, who used to teach at UL.
Okay.
He taught French, who was in the play, and there were some girls, some of the French teachers, those the foreign teachers that come to, you know, to teach here too, that were in the play. And it was all very well researched, very well done. It was played at the little Opelousas Theater at one time. It was played down here for the Festival International. It had a weekend run at the Abbey Players, because James produced a lot of plays there.
Yeah.
And it was booked for only one weekend, and after we played it, they wanted us to continue, but there was another play already scheduled. So, but that was, it was fun.
Oh,
it was,
yeah.
It really was. Now, this is when we were working women, you have to understand.
And
we're rehearsing three nights a week.
You know, and people forget about that with theater.
Yes.
You know, how much work and time you have to put into a production.
You really have to be committed.
That's right. You do.
Mm-hmm.
You do. Now, Brenda, you started life in Ville Platte. Correct.
Mm-hmm. That was the Big Bang.
That was the for those of you who might have thought the Big Bang was something different. This is what we're here to set you straight.
Oh yeah, Ville Platte.
Now, your parents both spoke French.
Actually, they didn't speak English.
They didn't speak English at all. Mm. Okay.
My dad knew a little bit of English because he watched The Price is Right with Bob Barker. They were very tight, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So he learned a little bit of English there and in the bars in Ville Platte, you know.
Yeah. And did you ever have, when you were younger, did you have formal training, or you just learned French because you had to learn French?
Oh, that's all we spoke in the home.
Okay.
And I didn't take it in high school.
Okay.
I thought, why should I? I already know how to speak it. But what I didn't realize is that I couldn't read it or write it.
And could you either your parents read or write French? Mm. Okay.
Oh, they couldn't read or write, period.
Period, yeah, okay.
My dad had a third grade education.
Okay.
He could sign his name. He could out things.
Did they both grow up in the Ville Platte area?
They did. Mom more so toward south of Ville Platte, like toward Chatania, Point Blue.
Okay.
And dad a little bit closer to Washington.
Okay. Yeah.
And they met in the middle, I guess, in Ville Platte at the Pays d'Odo.
Sure, yeah.
You know?
And so then you realized you couldn't read or write it.
Right. So I always wondered where these airplanes were going. I wanted to go. I wanted to become an airline stewardess at one time, and then I realized once I got on a plane how scared I was to get there.
Yeah.
That was a stupid thought. But anyway, I went to McNeese. And when we drove up just a while ago, we were talking about how beautiful the UL campus is. And I was telling Mavis how I wished that I had gone here, because instead of McNeese, you know, I followed a friend who was following her boyfriend. And so, but I had some really good French teachers at McNeese.
And so is that what you majored in? Did you major in French studies then, in education when you were in school?
Yeah, in French and minored in English.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. And right out of school, is that you had, strictly you taught French, or did you teach other subjects
too? Yeah, I taught in De Quincey, I taught in Benton, and I taught a Louisiana culture course also.
Okay.
That was a pilot program. And 17 years in high school in Calcasieu Parish, and 17 years in elementary here.
Wow.
Except a year and a half at Como High.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've got a good history
yeah,
in teaching.
The very language that I was embarrassed that, you know, would go out in public, and I had to tell Mom the prices of things in stores, and I was hoping nobody would hear that I was speaking to her in French. And every now and then she'd show up at school just to come tell me hi on her way to town. I was so embarrassed. Oh, my gosh. She had white hair, which I have now. And I mean, I wrote a poem about that later. It took me a long time to understand that all she wanted to do was see the inside of a school.
Yeah.
That's all. And so...
Because she didn't have that opportunity.
No. She came from, 16 kids.
Sure.
And didn't get to go to school. And I made my living with this language that... And I thanked them for it, my parents, later on in life for... You know, for that. I don't think that they really, they said, well, that's, ça c'est nice, cha, you know, but I don't think they really grasped, you know, what I was saying.
No, I'm curious with, so you grew up speaking Cajun French, and then when you went to school to become a French teacher, that was a different style of French. A different dialect
of
French.
We call it standard French.
And this is what I'm curious about. When you are raised with a certain dialect and then you go and you learn another dialect, is there a conscious thought of going back and forth? Because there are some phrases or wording that is different?
Yes. Yes, there is. I mean, it comes naturally, but like when I was teaching it, in high school and elementary, if I were to teach kids a dollar, well, I would certainly say in Cajun French, en piastre.
Okay.
If I said il pleut, or it's raining in standard French, then I would always teach it the way we say it. We say ça mouille.
Ah, okay.
And then one other particular word is the word now. In standard French, it's maintenant, and we say à cette heure.
Ah, okay.
So I felt like if I didn't do that, I was really doing an injustice to the kids that I taught, because I knew the way that we said it here.
That's right.
And that's what they would hear when they would go
and they
out
would have family
here.
Members. Yeah. Sure.
Neighbors, family. Mm-hmm.
Now, during the period of time then when you were back in this area teaching and you developed the teaching program to teach Cajun history... Is that something that you had to get like passed through the curriculum with the school board, anything like that, or that became like through the state a standard program that then would be taught?
Okay, what this was, it really started like in 86 when I received a Rockefeller grant to link the triangle between here, France, well, really starting in France, Acadia, and here.
Okay.
And I went to those areas. I mean, of course, I was here, but I went to the areas, did research in those areas, in New Brunswick area, in Nova Scotia, and, of course, in the Poitou area. And then I taught my high school kids.
And you back up
kids,
in the which area?
In the Poitiers area, Poitou. It's a region of France that, that a lot of the Acadians are from. Right, May?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Even though my name is not an Acadian name, I mean, I know my dad's family came directly from France. But anyway, I taught this to my high school kids in Benton, and we did a whole community performance for them. And down to pralines, costumes, pralines, talking. I had like 11 slide projectors going, one after the other, that I had to borrow from Houston, Texas.
Oh, Lord.
I was living in Orange, Texas, and teaching in Benton.
Yeah.
And then I came here, and with the, I was teaching at Woodville, and with the Congrès Mondial event happening down here in 1999, and then the La Grande Célébration, la Francofête.
Sure.
Francofête, the 300 years of French, of the arrival of French in Louisiana.
1999? No.
1699.
Yeah, so it was 1999.
Yes, in 1999, right, okay. 300 years. And so we decided, I started with an art project with Bright New Worlds through Acadiana Center, through Acadiana Arts Council.
Arts Council then, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Jill Tozan was our artist that helped. I taught the history. The kids sketched what they remembered. Then we painted it on canvas, like on 6 5x5 freestanding canvases.
Yeah.
The history, like in a patchwork quilt. And then it was so successful that we decided, well, why don't we do a video with it?
Oh, wow.
And so I did, it was a project that I did in a course for Barry Osley. And that was my project where I took all of this, everything that we had done orally and visually for the community and put it into a videotape, which was, thank God, Bob LaRossini. He is a jewel. He used to be director of AOC.
Yeah.
Oh, what a jewel of a man, of a person. He is the one who helped me to, I mean, I wrote it, I directed it, I did a teacher's guide in English and in French. We did a French version of the video and an English version of the video for social studies programs in Louisiana so that they wouldn't have any excuse not to teach our history.
Yeah.
And then for the French programs.
Now, schools still have access to that program?
Each one of them, Richard Guidry and I went to Baton Rouge, and the regional directors and under regional directors in Louisiana, there are, I forgot how many regions there are, but there's Region 5, Region 4, Region, I don't know how high up it goes, but each one of them have a group of parishes. And so we went to Baton Rouge and distributed that to the regional directors, who in turn brought it back to their parishes, put it in the media center for availability in French, in English, with a teacher's guide in French, a teacher's guide in English. So I hope that they're not on the shelf collecting dust, and
sure.
I hope that they're being used. A lot of people have told me they have been.
Oh, fabulous. I didn't know you had done the video of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful.
It's Cajun history for kids,
yeah.
Totally by kids.
Yeah.
In fact, your father-in-law, and Mavis is in it too, speaking about the value of the immersion program, because the immersion program, of course, is a part of our history since 1994, I think.
Yeah.
And your father-in-law played, because he had written a song called 200 Lines.
Yeah.
And he sang it for us in he did a little cameo.
Oh, wonderful. Well, speaking of music, you brought in a song that reminds you of your childhood in Ville Platte. And I'm going to probably mispronounce it, and maybe not.
It doesn't
matter. Mama Roseanne.
No, Mama Roseanne.
Mama Roseanne.
Yeah, it's like saying Roseanne.
Okay.
Roseanne.
Mama Roseanne.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are the memories of that song for you?
Oh, I thought it was so sweet. It's kind of Caribbean, so I guess I must have been Latin in another life or something. Because
yeah.
Even as a little kid, I loved that song.
Yeah.
Oh, Mama Roseanne, oh, Mama Roseanne, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It was so cute and sweet, and it was a little girl singing it. So, that's the song that I loved the
most.
Well,
we're going to listen to, and I'm pretty sure this is that version. It was done by Nathan Abshire, but it's Little Yvonne LeBlanc, who is the singer on
mm-hmm.
that. And that's what they, so Cecil, if we can listen to that one. This is Maman Roseanne.
Jamais dans son moment Roseanne, oh maman Roseanne, ce sont tes yeux, c'est la grande pour toi.
Mm-hmm. jamais, même dans son maman rosaine. Oh maman rosaine, ça chante et Dieu, c'est ta rame pour toi.
That was Mama Roseanne, Nathan Abshire with little Yvonne LeBlanc on vocals. If you just join us, this is The Exchange on KRVS 88.7 FM, or you can listen on the internet at www.krvs.org. Check out the website. All kinds of great things on there, from news to music to, you know, any program that you may have missed during the week. Also a list of events going on in the area, and the radio station is a public service of the University of Louisiana Lafayette. My guests in the studio today are Brenda Mounier and Mavis Frugier, and we just listened to Mama Roseanne, which took you back to your childhood, Brenda.
Mm. Yeah, I did.
That is a wonderful voice, that young gal on there.
Yeah, it is. It's very sweet.
It is. You know, now with the two of you have put a lot of your time and energy throughout the years with French. And I'm curious with, in this area, and not having, I've only been in this area for a little over 20 years. So I'm curious what the two of you saw happen throughout the years with different generations starting to pay attention again to maybe the traditions of their parents or their grandparents. That, you know, I hear people talk about different times where it kind of got put to the wayside a bit. Did you see that happen, or did you see changes go on in the different generations?
Well, it wasn't everyone that was proud about their culture.
Yeah.
At least not when I was a young, let's say, teenager.
Sure.
I finished high school in 56, and I so remember the girl who had been a classmate and who married in the senior year, left, and came back in 3 months later and couldn't speak French. Now, come on. She had married a guy in the military, and she had wiped all that off.
Mm.
And whereas...
By choice.
By choice.
Yeah.
By choice. You can't tell me you live away from this area for 3 months and you can't remember what you know.
Sure.
But whereas I was a military wife and lived away from this area for 25 years and I've never forgotten it.
Yeah.
You know, I just loved it. Always did. And I was not one of those students that was punished in grade school. My first grade teacher was Ed Roy's mother, Minnie Roy.
Mm.
And she was ever so kind to us. But I can't ever remember being made to be ashamed of my culture or the way I spoke. And in those years that we lived away from this area, I've faced those, say, what is this accent that you have? Or are you German? No, I'm from Louisiana. Oh, I see, you're one of those coon asses. Well, let me correct you. I'm very proud to be called the Cajun. I do take offense to being called what you just called me.
Yeah.
Oh, man, y'all look out for Frugier's wife. She she bristles if you call her. You know. So they knew, no, I'm proud of my heritage, but I'm a Cajun.
Yeah, exactly. How about you, Brenda? Did you, you know, over the years, did you see things kind of, I don't know, ebb and flow in terms of, or it might have been the group that you were with, always spoke their language and mm-hmm. always kind of continued on with, you know, I think of people that I've met here since I've lived here, and we'll talk about how they just didn't pay attention for a long time and really mm-hmm. forgot about, you know, didn't forget the language, but just didn't pay attention mm-hmm. for years.
Yeah, because when you're totally immersed in it, you just kind of take it for granted.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember, I besides my parents, I attribute where I went in life to two people. One of them was my high school counselor mm. who made sure that I went to college. I was the first one in my family. And then I attribute a lot of who I am today and the passion that I have for the French language and our culture to Richard Guidry.
Mm.
Because he already knew that. You know, some people know that from an early age. I lived in it so deeply that I was, like, totally unaware of that.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I was at an event with him, and there were some French teachers there, and one of them, we were talking, and one of them said, so, quelle est ta langue maternelle? What's your native language? And I had to stop and think. And I said, well, I guess French. And Richard just laughed. He laughed. He just never forgot that moment. It was like a bulb went off. And people like him, I mean, even Zachary Richard had that sense early on, way before even I did. And I grew up totally in it.
Yeah.
Of the value of, I mean, of what we had here, how unique it was, and really preserving it. I mean, way in the early 70s, Barry also was like that. I had to go to France and have some Tunisians tell me, Tunisian friends tell me, hey, come listen to this on the radio. It sounds like it's coming from Louisiana. I think they said it's from Louisiana, and I did, and it was, I mean, my heart just got so big.
Wow.
And I just...
Do you remember who it was or what the music was?
No, it was something going on one of the clubs, I think, along in the Atchafalaya Basin area.
Something they had picked up on the radio.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, and it just really, and then I came back, and Richard and I had been friends from from 1976 on, and he introduced me to all of these people that... All of these French teachers got me involved in doing workshops for the State Department of Education, and just the path that my life took with the Théâtre Cajun, with so many things, I owe so much to him.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're talking about, your question was asking how we've seen changes in the French language, and music is the Pied Piper.
Mm.
You know, to attract, right, May? To attract
yes.
the young people. And, of course, that goes without saying. I think we're all very well aware of that. What I find neat is that if there's Cajun music, they'll sing it in French. They might have, I don't know, a rock tune to it, but it will be in French.
That's right.
And see, not that there's none that are not done in English, but for the most part, they are done in French. It's Amanda that really pointed it out, Amanda Lafleur, and it's very true. Whereas, I mean, I love Zydeco music. I love dancing to it, and I'm afraid for them that if it's continued to be sung in English, there are a lot more being coming out in English than
sure.
in French. And those like you had on the show the other day, who was it?
Oh, Jeffrey? Chubby.
Chubby.
Yeah.
Chubby. Oh, it was just such a treat listening to him, and the joy, the love for it just came through. And I mean,
yeah.
and his speaking French, and he sings it in French, and you know, that's the way people don't seem to really get it,
yeah.
that the culture and the language are
it's one.
Irrevocably yeah. entwined.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, because when you talk about the music, I think about how many people I know that either learned the language, they had never learned the language and started to learn it,
mm-hmm.
or started refreshing themselves because of the lyrics of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what got them
mm-hmm.
back into or into for the first time the language.
Well, David Greeley has... definitely years ago put his money where his mouth is.
That's
and
right.
That's history that. And then you see all of these people come in for Louisiana Folk Roots.
Yeah, that's right.
The Dewey Bofa Cajun and Creole Heritage Week in Chico Park.
Yeah.
And you see them just stumbling through the pronunciation of those words, but they want,
but
not only are they singing it, but they actually do want to know what they're saying.
Exactly, exactly.
Linda Castle, for instance. Linda Castle, who has learned to play the fiddle, who moved here because of her love of Cajun music, without speaking French, but sings.
She sings it beautifully, doesn't she?
In French, yes, and she's learning it. So I applaud her for that.
Yeah, that's a really good example. Now, you wanted to bring in the song Reveille by Zachary.
Oh.
But what is... Tell us about how that song is connected to you.
Well, we had gone to New Brunswick. We were in Memramcook to play our play that Douce Réunion.
Wait, back up. What did you say, the Memramcook? What?
Memramcook was the town where we were staying in.
Got it.
Close
okay.
to Moncton.
Okay.
And there was a big concert, the final night of this big event. There was the concert, and all of us, of course, went to listen. Our boy, you know, from Louisiana was going to be the big... Listen, when he sang Reveille, it gives me frissons yet. Cheryl, if you don't know what a frisson is,
I know what
a
frisson is, yeah.
And to hear Zachary Richard, and I think next day's paper said there had been 250,000 people there to listen to this, and every one of them shouting, Reveille, Reveille, with Zachary. You know, it was the most memorable moment for me of that trip was this.
But let's listen to the song Reveille for Zachary Richard.
Reveille! Réveille, c'est le godin qui vient brûler la récolte. Réveille, réveille, on meurt à pour sauver le village. Mon grand-grand-grand-grand-père est venu de la Bretagne. La sang de ma famille est mouillé l'Acadie. Et là, les maudits rien nous chassaient comme des bêtes. D'être les saintes familles nous jeter tout souvent. Réveille, réveille, c'est le gardien qui vient brûler la récolte. Réveille, réveille, hommes acadiens pour sauver le village. J'ai entendu parler, monter avec beau soleil, pour prendre le fusil, battre les sacres maudits. J'ai entendu parler d'aller en la Louisiane, pour trouver de la bonne paix là-bas dans la Louisiane. Réveille, réveille, c'est le gardien qui vient brûler la récolte. Réveille, réveille.
All right, that was Réveille, Zachary Richard. And if you're just joining us on The Exchange, my guests in the studio today are Brenda Mounier and Mavis Frugier. Well, Mavis, you have some French programs that you have been involved in organizing. You do your La Table Française in Arneville.
I do.
And that is the first Saturday of each month. We do have one coming up.
Nope, it's the last
Saturday. What did I say? The first? Yeah, the last Saturday of the month.
It is always the last Saturday of the month.
Which would have confused people when I said May 26th.
Scratch that, folks. C'est le dernier samedi du mois.
That's right.
Not the fourth, but the last Saturday of the month at Nunu's in Arneville, right on Highway 93, better known as the old Singleton Lumberyard building. So it's a wonderful building. It's,
and it can start at 9.
We start at 9 and we run until, well, I've left at 2:30. You know, people want to visit in French, and it just doesn't seem to end sometimes.
Yeah.
We start at 9, and we always have lots of baked. I think that's why so many people come. They know we're going to have cookies and cakes and bread and all kinds of stuff. And it's all free. It's a wonderful morning. And in addition to that, thanks to Patrice Melnick in Guacato, who has a little shop called Casa Azul. This year she has allowed me quarterly to host open mic en français. So it's this Thursday night, and anyone who wants to come read a poem, be it one that you've written or someone else's, that's fine, a story, a raconté, anything goes.
But en français.
En français. En français. And j'invite tous les menteurs, raconteurs, venteurs, venez.
Now, what did you just say there when you said...
I invite all the liars, the braggers, and the storytellers. Anyone can come and tell, you know.
Yeah. Well, now, Brenda, you're going to take part in the one this month. Are you?
I was supposed to, but I had to cancel out due to something else, another commitment, but I have before.
Uh-huh. And now where, you know, where she just said the liars, where do you
where
fit
do
under
fall?
That?
I want that to be a competition, actually.
That's right.
I want to do that once a year. It's, you know, Texans are known to be really the best braggarts there are. And some people are just known liars. They tell a white fib like, you know.
Like nobody's business.
They're good at it.
Like it's gospel.
Yeah, yeah.
And then some people are really good storytellers. So I think those three categories, we should have a competition.
In the French language.
Mm-hmm. Ventreur et raconteur. Don't you think that would be good?
I think that'd be a great idea.
Nice ring to it, huh?
Yes, it does.
Now, you write poetry, Brenda?
Well, some people call it that, but I mean,
yeah.
If I were to put it into a book, which I won't, I name it Cinq sous et de l'échange, a nickel and some change.
Ah.
Because that's what, to me, it is.
Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't compare to, oh gosh, I mean, really prolific writers. You know, David Cheremy writes beautifully, Kirby Jean-Bon, Barry Osley.
I didn't know that David Cheremy wrote until at one of your events,
yes,
Mavis, and he got up and read.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
There are a lot more people that who write than people. I mean, because I taught a class in Arneville to a group of Cajun speakers. I taught them to read and write. It was a literacy course.
Ah.
And it was such a pleasure. But all that to say is that I used only materials written by people from around here for a course that lasted from January until September.
And you had no shortage of materials.
And we're still not finished.
Isn't
right?
that great?
And just to make them aware of people, you know, using our French here and
sure.
making them aware of people that write around here.
Yeah. Now, now when you're writing these pieces, in your head, it's all in French?
It comes to me more, right, I think I've written maybe two things in English.
Okay.
It comes to me in French.
Okay.
I don't know why, but it just, that's what I feel it more in.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I remember having a conversation with my father-in-law, whose first language was French,
mm-hmm.
and then a good friend of ours whose first language was Dutch. And listening to them talk about when they remembered first dreaming in English, you know, and it was both when they were older teens, you know, but that was a really interesting conversation to then listen to them talk about their process and how it worked when they would start writing and would it come in their first language then at that point,
mm-hmm.
but that always seemed to stay. But that was always an interesting thing to hear them talk about what a weird thing that was when they first both dreamed in English.
That they
that
realized
that, was such an
that,
odd
that moment, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember that moment because I've always known both languages. I don't remember not knowing both.
Yeah.
But I love that your father-in-law, Hadley, writes all his songs.
He does.
Oh,
yeah.
They're fabulous.
Yeah.
They're really, Bruce Degerpont does too.
Exactly.
Many people do, you know. Those are the two that come to mind, but there are many more. And it's a story.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's a history lesson at the same time.
It's good documentation of what, you know, certain things that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, can you read us a piece?
Okay, I'll give you the choice of reading the first one I wrote ever in French.
Oh, that's what you talked about earlier?
I don't remember.
You mentioned it. Okay, you mentioned one. Okay.
Yeah, and or an one that's just funny, just flippant. You know, which one would you
read the first one, huh, Mavis?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, I was still living in Orange, Texas at the time, and I couldn't sleep one night. It usually would come to me at 11 o'clock at night, and this is what came to mind. I missed home. I missed my culture. I called it Reflections, Reflexion. Et eût été cher, y a si longtemps que je te cherchais, et t'étais droite là en dessous de mon nez tout le temps. Je t'appréciais pas quand on vivait ensemble. C'est pas drôle. Je connaissais même pas qui tu étais. Mais j'étais obligée de t'écouter et de t'écouter. Mais à ce que je suis loin de toi, je trouve après chercher, essayer de trouver le son d'un violon qui me fera danser. Ouais, à ce tu me fais danser. À ce que je t'ai trouvé, je peux pas danser assez. Je vais mourir sans avoir assez dansé. T'es dans mes veines si fortes, tu me fais brailler tellement je t'aime, Aster. Aster que je connais qui toi t'es et qui moi je suis, on s'adonne bien, hein, ma Louisiane.
Now, can you translate part of that for it? You know, I'm going to tell you, it's so interesting. Bits and pieces of it I get, but and again, your voice tone is so beautiful. And as you're reading, of course, not understanding some of it, and I've heard other people read before too, that to me it's always something romantic. You know, it's such a romantic
another
sounding
language.
You know,
always sounds like that.
Yeah.
My voice since I retired from teaching in 06 has gotten softer. And I remember my mom's voice was soft, and her father, my grandfather's voice, was very, very soft. And it's not on purpose. I wish it were stronger, you know. Well, it's saying, where were you, dear? There's so long that I was looking, that I've been looking for you, and you were right underneath my nose the whole time. And I didn't appreciate you when we lived together. It's no wonder. I didn't know who you were, but I was forced to listen to you and to listen to you because my parents didn't speak English.
Sure.
You know? But now that I'm far away from you, I find myself looking for you and looking for you and trying to find the sound of a fiddle that'll make me dance. Yes, now you make me dance. Now that I found you, I can't dance enough. I'm going to die without having danced enough. You're in my veins so strongly that it makes me cry, so that I love you so much. Now that I know who you are and who I am, we get along fine, don't we, my Louisiana?
Brenda, that, I tell you what, right, Mavis? You're talking about, oh my gosh, that's not a first, right? You know, that's incredible.
Well, the poem comes, things like, you know, it comes in one piece or it doesn't come at all.
Do you know what I love is that it was the same feeling listening to you read that in English.
Uh-huh.
That was very nice.
It worked in English, too. I never did do it in English.
Oh, that very, worked. Very nice.
It's really beautiful.
Now, can we hear the funny one?
Okay. This one, I call it Life is a Dance, La Vie c'est une danse. And, you know, and I talk about a woman, and women, you know, use the broom a lot. Well, a broom in French is a balai.
Balai, eh?
B-A-L-L-A-Y-E. A-Y-E or B-A-L-L-A-I. Oh, gosh, I'm a teacher and I can't remember. But, of course, there's the dance ballet, too. So that's what this is about. Moi, je vois la vie comme une danse. On peut valser ou on peut faire du ballet. Pour nous autres, les femmes, c'est plutôt le dernier. Laissez-moi vous expliquer. Imaginez. Le ballet. On saute en l'air, on se pète par terre. On se fend en quatre, et des fois, on est à quatre pattes. On fait des pas de deux. Des fois, ce sont des vrais. Des fois, ce sont des faux pas. On caracole. On tourne en rond, on courcobille, on glisse, on trotte, on avance, on recule, on avance, on fait des culbutes, on se traîne, on se tord, on fait comme si on est mort, on marche en biais sur le bout des pieds comme sur les piquants. Le ballet, c'est de l'ouvrage. Et quand c'est fini, tout le monde applaudit. La danse, c'est fini, et la vie aussi. Eh oui, pour nous autres les femmes, la vie, c'est un grand ballet. Et souvent, c'est du mop O-C.
Now, can we hear that? Can we hear it in English?
Okay, well, me, I see life like a dance. We can either waltz or we can do ballet. But for us women, for we women, it's more likely the last one, the latter one, the ballet. So let me explain to you. We jump up in the air, we fall on the floor, all of these verbs, and we, you know, all of the words of the ballet, and ballet's a lot of work, and when we're finished, everybody applauds, and the dance is finished, and so is life, and also for us, for we women, life is a big ballet, a big broom, and often it's a mop too. That's all it is.
Kind of tongue-in-cheek, you know.
I love that. Yeah, it's
too gracious. You're too kind.
No, I'm not. It works. No, I've heard I'm not a writer, but I've heard a lot. it works wonderfully in both English and French. That was beautiful. You know, at your event, Mavis.
Yes.
Have you had people that come to where it's
sure.
the first time? Well, no, I'm not asking people come, but where it's the very first time that they've ever spoken or done a reading in French in front of people?
I don't know if it would be the first time, but quickly comes to mind Sylvia Morel, who mm-hmm. writes.
She writes poetry, yeah.
Poetry. She writes beautifully and with so much passion, like Brenda, about our heritage, you know. And Jean-François, he's one that will read us from his little stories. And it's always fun, and we're always delighted when Brenda wants to do something for us.
Well, Mavis has written some things, too. She did. That what was neat about that class, that literacy class in French, in Cajun French, teaching Cajuns to read the language they've always spoken, it inspired some of them to just write their own little poems. Mm. Or those stories, and they did. It doesn't matter if it's not spelled right.
That's right.
You know, not at all. Yeah. Well, I'll help you with that. But Mavis, do you remember the one that you wrote? It was, I think, about Byron Boudreau or something?
Byron Boudreau. Well, it was, she had a copy for everyone that was a little rap written by Charles Larocque.
A little sample that they could go by. Yeah, Charles Larocque had written this little rap.
Yeah.
He say, "Mon nom c'est Tigalou. J'habite à Grand Coteau. Mon frère, c'est Joe, ma soeur, c'est Flo, mais moi, je suis le plus beau."
Hot dog, mais moi, je suis le plus beau. And so that was it. And then you wrote...
I don't know if I remember the one I had written for Byron Boudreau was having a birthday, I believe, or he was leaving the class for whatever reason. Uh-huh. Anyway, and mon nom, c'est Tiboubou. Moi, je danse comme un vrai fou, because Byron Boudreau and Angela are fabulous dancers. I think they dance four nights a week.
Yeah.
And anyway, it was about Byron, and I don't remember the rest of it, Brenda.
I wish I had thought of bringing it, because they were just... It was great to see them at the beginning of the class, not just afraid, oh, is that how that's spelled?
yeah.
You know, like... The light came on. I never dreamed it was spelled that way. Oh, that's what that says.
That was...
All the stuff that they were used to saying just
right.
in everyday language.
Yeah.
What was beautiful about that, Brenda did this on Monday, on Tuesday, Tuesday mornings we had our class. And Paul Lydio from Canada offered to do another one at night, standard French. Do you know...
Well, he's the gentleman that comes... He spends part of the year,
yes,
right?
Okay. He does, and he was so kind to us. And he did this on Tuesday nights. Do you know the people who would drive in from Opelousas, from Port Barry, from Leonville would drive back to Orneville a second time? Now, tell me people are not adults and not hungry for this type of class.
Yeah, that's right.
It was wonderful.
That's right.
Paul couldn't believe it. And they had the Cajun school teacher, Miss Brenda... Madame Moon, and then at night, Paul Riopelle, the Canadian, you know, with his funny to us accent.
Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah.
It was wonderful, and we so appreciated that.
During those classes, did he or did you do any of the kind of the comparison of some of the similarities and differences of
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was very interested in that.
You know, I always remember years ago taking through, I think it was Gumbo U or one of the potpourri through the university here, and Phoebe Trotter taught the class with Cajun French. Mm-hmm. And I was the only one from out of the area that was in the class. Everybody else was from the area. And it was so interesting. I remember the one thing that really stood out was how many different ways there were to say certain things right in this area based on what town somebody grew up in.
Yes.
That was a fascinating piece for me to learn.
There's no right or wrong way to say it. It depends on what you grew up saying in your area and how your area was influenced by the linguistics of the people who colonized that particular area.
Exactly. Exactly.
And what mistakes we perpetuated.
Yeah.
And
and the English we throw in.
That's right. That's what Mavis did it on the way here. I got such a kick out of that with the way she does that. And part of that is because of the no, you know, for people who might not understand that, it's because of the no current terms for Cajun terms. For certain, because it's an old language, so there are things that will be said in English because there isn't a Cajun.
If they're very interested, I don't know if they're aware of the, the 10, 12 years that it took to birth the latest dictionary the team, I mean, a fantastic team from Bloomington, Indiana, and here with Barry Osley, Richard Guidry, Amanda Lafleur, buy a copy of it and you can learn how to read French, too, by the examples in it.
Louisiana French.
That's right, Louisiana French.
Awesome book.
Well, I want to thank the two of you for coming on here today. I really appreciate it. I want to encourage everybody, too, to go out to the L'Etat Française in Arneville, which is the last Saturday of each month, and the next one coming up will be May 26th from 9 to noon. And then please hit the open mic in Francais. And, okay, La Seine.
La Seine Ouverte.
La Seine Ouverte. Mm-hmm. And that will be at Casa Azul in Grand Coteau this Thursday night from 7 to 9 p.m.
Yes.
So bring your poems, your writings, your readings en français to that event. And I know Coteauville used to have on their website a list of all the different French tables in the area. So, check that out on the Coteauville website because there is a number of tables that they do throughout the area.
And Connie Castillo's Tigalo film is at Casa Azul tonight, too.
Tonight. And I will say because of an overflow of the first time, which is a wonderful thing to. If you haven't seen that film, go out and see that. It's fabulous. It's wonderful.
Excellent.
She's done a great job of yet again documenting
Bravo,
a good part of this
Connie.
History. That's right. All right. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Merci.